Restaurant Unstoppable, episode 11.
Welcome to RestaurantUnstoppable.com. Listen to successful restaurant professionals as they discuss the tools, tactics, and services they use to better lead, manage, and market their restaurants. Join our community and make your restaurant dreams unstoppable. Here's your host, Eric Cacciatore.
Yo! What's going on, all you unstoppable restaurant professionals? It's your host, Eric Cacciatore. Before I get started today, let me apologize for not having a show for you this past Monday. I had something lined up, but it didn't materialize, so we'll have that guest on another day. I guess it's all part of the struggle of being a college student, working part-time, and trying to deliver 3 episodes a week. I'll try to be better about getting episodes recorded before they're scheduled to go out. But anyway, today's show should be great. I can't wait to have you guys listen to that. On a side note, I was able to attend the New England Food Show today in Boston, Massachusetts, and it was a blast. I connected with a lot of amazing people, some of which are excited to be on the show, and I think they're going to be a great contribution, and we'll be able to learn from them, not just restaurant owners, executive chefs, and GMs, but also I was able to connect with some people who have some awesome products and services that I really think will be able to help you market, manage, and lead your restaurants. So I'm looking forward to having them on the show and kind of spreading the knowledge and creating some awareness of some of the tools and resources that are out there. And on that note, I hope you enjoyed today's show. Here it is. For the last 10 years, today's guest studied and worked in almost every facet of the constantly evolving online marketing landscape. From his humble beginning in search engine marketing to being at the forefront of social media and viral marketing, today's guest made a name for himself in both the B2B sector as well as a stint taking his knowledge of online business models to the music business. While building his digital media empire, today's guest did what a lot of entrepreneurs do, worked at restaurants to pay the bills and network. For 15 years, he has stacked his resume working in every front of house position with a strength in operations and team building. In late 2012, he decided to marry his two passions and get back into the restaurant business with a friend. Today, he continues to help launch new restaurants as well as act as Dinability's head of digital media. With no further ado, please allow me to introduce to you today's guest, Eric Cacciatore. A bear.
What's up, man?
How's it going? Was there anything I left out that you'd like to add?
No, man. You got it all right on point.
Awesome. Sounds good. So, are you ready to drop some invaluable advice that will make restaurant dreams unstoppable?
Absolutely.
All right. So, I like to start every interview off with a success or leadership quote or mantra. What do you have for us today?
Sure. So, the quote I want to share with you today is, positivity is not optional, it's mandatory. And this is a saying that we hear a lot around the Dinability offices because it was quoted by our CEO, David Koji, actually. We look at sort of like to sort of beat our own drum and pick a quote from him because it really kind of it really motivates us as a team, and it's really kind of one of the core things behind what we're doing. When we first started Dinability, it was all about, one of the big things that David presented to us was making sure that we were getting into this business for the right reasons, and that's, really being passionate about restaurants and wanting to make those things better and being positive about our business kind of pours into our clients and kind of makes everything else that we do, successful because of that attitude that we bring to the table.
Absolutely, Eric. I couldn't agree more with that statement. Positivity is so huge. As a matter of fact, I want to have somebody on the show who's an expert in positivity just because that's how important it is. When you're positive, especially as a leader, if you're positive, you pass that on to your teammates. And if they're positive, then your guests are going to leave with a positive attitude. And that's really what we're after at the end of the day. So great answer. I loved it. What is it about you? What's your it factor that sets you apart from other restaurant consultants in the industry?
Yeah, so I think the real cool thing about unsustainability is the fact that we kind of bring a lot of different sort of skill sets to the market, and I mean that in the sense of, like, not just restaurant related, if that makes any sense. So I'll kind of talk about myself personally and kind of how I got involved with sustainability. Is I, you know, I've been in the restaurant business for 15 years, working pretty much every, you know, starting as the busboy and working up to management in the front of the house. And then while I was working at restaurants, I was also sort of carving like a niche in the marketing advertising world. I spent the last 10 years doing that, and was actually removed from the restaurant business for a few years, focusing on my consulting company. And it was over the last 2 years that I got sort of introduced back into the restaurant business through some friends of mine who were, you know, starting their own, and they knew that I had the experience and background to sort of run a front of the house. And it was really cool to bring my marketing experience into the mix this time around. So I think that's what's really cool about, you know, my personal involvement with sustainability, and what we do is the ability to, you know, offer sort of different outlooks on situations and not be sort of stuck in a, you know, I was this person at a restaurant for X years and that's my only background. And that kind of also is... you'll see that in all the other team members with sustainability too. We all sort of have these dual careers of being, you know, a lot of us sort of worked at restaurants to sort of pay the bills while we were, you know, looking at other career opportunities and learning how to do, you know, building other skill sets. And we all sort of kind of ended up back in the business on the business side of things, and were able to sort of offer different levels of service and different kinds of things that I don't think you'll find in most sort of restaurant consultancy firms.
Yeah.
Even with that too, you know, we all have a lot of experience, but I think there's a definitely like a youthful attitude and an atmosphere to us. You know, we're not we're all still pretty young guys. I'm in my all in our like kind of early 30s, and we're not sort of we kind of bring a sort of new school flavor, I guess, to some of the things that we do. And technology is a big part of that too. We're brought up with technology. I've obviously been working in, you know, the technology side of the marketing business for 10 years, and I bring a lot of that kind of stuff to the table. So,
awesome.
You know, definitely sort of a youthful vibe, and at the same time, very knowledgeable guys on the
great team. So to sort of sum it up, what it is about you and sustainability, you personally, your contribution is your restaurant marketing expertise, but as sustainability as a team, each and every one of you brings something special. So you guys get the full package, kind of, is what you're saying. And that's what
you're absolutely
deliver. And it helps to be on the younger side of things, so you can kind of say you're new age and you know what's out there for technology, some of the great stuff. So I'm really excited for what you're going to have in the marketing question later on. But yeah, you are definitely do have it, man. So the next question is challenges. Share with us a common challenge you are seeing your clients having right now.
I think right now, and it's funny because, you know, I definitely knew this. I just spent 6 months helping a friend run a restaurant, and I know how tough it is to find time in the day to speak with, you know, vendors and service providers and people like myself on the other side of things. So I think one of the biggest challenges right now is trying to, you know, find time to get restaurant owners to kind of, whether it's on the sales side of things, to like actually sit down and learn about sustainability and what we have to, you know, to offer them, and even on the implementation side of things when we actually get to go to work for, you know, restaurants. And I think time is one of the biggest challenges. You know, if anybody worked at a restaurant or was in a sort of management position, you know, whether it's front or the back of the house, your time is really valuable in the sense that you're in a restaurant from open to close, and then trying to find, you know, a half hour or an hour here or there can be really tough, depending on, you know, especially the time of the year, how busy you are.
That's so true, and it's really time management is such a difficult task for people in this industry because you're constantly trying to do as much as possible with the smallest staff possible so you can stretch that dollar, and which is really one of the reasons, the biggest reasons why I felt like there is a need for a podcast like this, so I could bring experts like you on to talk, because you can listen to these podcasts, you can listen to this episode while you're driving to work or while you're doing a prep cook in the kitchen. You don't need your hands or your eyes. You can be 100% engaged from these learning opportunities that I'm sure you're going to give us today while you're doing something else. So being able to multitask is huge for time management, and I couldn't agree more with you. I think it's going to be a recurring answer to the challenge is this right. being able to manage all that time. So what advice do you have for your clients when they come to you with this issue?
Right. So, I mean, that being said, you know, I think what happens a lot of times, especially with the sort of manager slash owner role, is taking on, you know, more than they can chew, and just not, you know, trying to do everything themselves and kind of getting overwhelmed with that. So I think, you know, having the ability to delegate, you know, certain tasks to, you know, trusted employees and giving and empowering employees to take on, you know, bigger responsibilities that normally the owner would be, you know, wanting to take on or trying to take on, I think is key in helping manage that time. So, you know, being able to obviously find the right people to trust and then being able to delegate tasks to those people obviously is a big part of that. Mm-hmm. And then the kind of other side of that is really, and this really, I mean, this is advice for any business, you know, is sort of putting the right kind of processes in place and having sort of like standard operating procedures that employees can work off of and kind of, you know, a workflow that kind of ensure that these things that you're delegating can be done properly and done successfully and stuff. And that goes, that starts at the very like lowest level, even if it's your hosts and hostesses, like how they do their jobs, like having that kind of stuff documented and having a process in place for them to do their job on that level, all the way up to, you know, even yourself as the owner or the chef or the, you know, general manager, having a process in place to kind of do everything just makes, you know, your business run more efficiently.
Exactly, Eric. And I think it's a very common attribute to have being a restaurateur. We're in the industry of hospitality. It's a part of us to constantly want to say yes. I know many of us, myself included, I'm a yes, you know, recovering yesaholic. I constantly, you know, try to say yes to help people and to take on responsibility. But you can get yourself in trouble that way, and sometimes you need to know when you have more than you can handle it. And when you get to that point, like you said, delegation is huge. And it sounds like what you're saying is you suggest setting up some standard operating procedures. So when you do delegate tasks, those standard operating procedures will make it so the task gets done right. And another important thing to point out, too, is when you delegate these important tasks onto your team members, they're going to feel like they're more a part of the team, which is going to make them happier, like they're a bigger contribution to the success. So that's all great stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. So the next question I have for you is leadership. How important is leadership, and how do you teach leadership to your clients?
Sure. I had the just absolute awesome experience working for a very successful restaurant group. I was involved with them for about 7 years. And, you know, the reason because they're successful really came down to leadership. And I think it's, you know, one of the most, if not the most important thing to building that team and building a successful restaurant is how you go about doing that. You know, you can have a great product, you can have great food, you can have a great staff, you can have all these elements that people, you know, normally think, but sort of the leadership is what kind of ties it all together and creates what your ultimate goal is, which is kind of creating this awesome experience for your guests. It starts with, you know, the leadership sort of motivating your staff to, whether it's in the back of the house, creating the product and making sure it's the best product that can possibly go out the kitchen, or whether it's the front of the house, you know, and giving the best service. It all came down to the end of the day, that leadership that we had, that was kind of the core of the company. And, you know, I think one of the big things that I saw and that I, you know, use today is sort of not telling people what to do, but teaching them by example. So, you know, in my time since working for this one group and learning sort of, you know, how to go about motivating a staff, every restaurant that I've worked in since then, I've, you know, definitely taught by example. So I'm sort of a reserved kind of quiet guy at times, and I might not give the greatest speeches or motivate people necessarily by telling them exactly how to do their job. But I usually very quickly will get the respect from my staff by just going out and, you know, being really good at what I do. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really cool when, you know, I'll be, you know, kind of training a new staff or working with a new staff, and then they'll kind of see me, like, running around a restaurant, you know, taking care of everything that needs to be taken care of, maybe not just what my supposed role is going to be, and just caring about the restaurant and every element. That kind of like you know, physical showing, leading by example, I think is really, really big.
Absolutely. One of the reasons why I ask this question is because there seems sometimes to be confusion between the leadership and management. And sometimes when people get put into a management position, they almost get a sense of entitlement. But the truth of the matter is the biggest difference between management's just to keep things in order is how I like. It's more of a structured way of thinking about things. But the biggest difference between a manager and a leader is a leader has followers. And in order to get followers, you need to kind of set the pace and lead by example, which is exactly what you said. And I didn't want to cut you off. Were you about to say something else before I chimed in?
No, you're right on. I just wanted to say, you know, sort of in addition to the theme is sort of like not just telling people what to do or talking. It's sort of like, you know, letting your actions sort of speak for yourself and leading by that kind of example. But I think another big part of that too is actually listening to the people that you're trying to motivate and trying to train and sort of like understanding who those people are and what their background is, what their aspirations are, learning about their strengths and weaknesses and stuff like that. And once you kind of understand your staff on a little bit of a personal level, you can kind of like learn how to talk to them, I guess, a little bit more. And it also sort of letting your staff know about who you are definitely is a big part of that as well. Like, I got to experience that recently where I, you know, sat down with each of my servers and kind of told them a little bit about, like, you know, who I was outside of the restaurant and some of the other things I'm involved with. And they kind of, their eyes, like, kind of lit up and they're like, wow, they didn't know certain things about me, my background, and, you know, some of the other, like, projects I was involved with. And our relationship changed. They respected me a lot more once they kind of learned a little bit more about me, and I got to learn a little bit more about them and stuff.
Awesome. I love it. Yeah, respect is definitely huge in the leadership role. And you mentioned getting to know your employees' strengths and weaknesses, and that's huge when it comes to delegation, because when you know your employees or your inner guests, as Steve DeFilippo likes to call them, when you know your inner guest and you know what their strengths are, when it comes time to delegate tasks to them, you'll be able to make the most of their strengths, which is, so that's awesome advice. Thank you for that. The next question I have for you is success definition. What is your, from a consultant's point of view, what is your definition of success in the restaurant industry?
So that obviously is going to, you know, that obviously can change specifically for the, you know, the different clients we have, because we work with sort of different restaurants that are in different stages. You know, we work with startups, we work with existing restaurants, and we, you know, we have clients that are sort of growing as like a chain almost. So the specifics of those, of what we could define as success could vary from client to client. But I think the underlying sort of theme is sort of like, you know, usually what happens with most of our clients is we sort of uncover, like, you know, the root of a problem they have. And then we develop a solution to sort of, you know, fix that problem. And I think success is when we kind of go into a restaurant, you know, a few months after, whether it's just consulting or actually helping them implement it, is being able to go in at a later date and see that it's still working. Mm-hmm. That's kind of one of the... That's kind of, to us, what a big what success is seeing a restaurant, you know, take our advice, take the work that we're doing for them, implementing it, and then actually like, sustaining that and seeing that help them as they, you know, continue, you know, their business. You know, we definitely like try to push that as much as possible when it comes to you know, explaining, especially in our sales strategy, the kinds of things that we want to do. Is we don't want to just come in and say, here, you know, do this, you know, pay us, do this, and then we're going to kind of disappear. We want to, you know, definitely stick around as much as possible, but at the end of the day, we want to see, you know, our advice and our processes, you know, put into motion and actually working and continuing to work and not sort of, you know, being like a one-shot deal. I've seen consulting companies or businesses or services, not just in restaurants, but in other, like, sort of service-based industries, you know, where it's like, okay, this month we're going to change our procedures or we're going to implement this strategy, and then it lasts for like 2 months, and then, like, you know, the leadership role there, kind of going back to what we were talking about earlier, sort of gives up on it, and then they kind of fall back into like this old model of doing things. So success for us is, you know, seeing is actually seeing that, seeing the things that we do working, you know, and continuing to work, you know, months after they're implemented.
Yeah, and what I really picked up from what you just said, the series of words that stuck with me were helping people or helping others. And in the hospitality industry, in the restaurant industry, really at the end of the day, that's all what we're here for to do is to make that the end user, whether it be our restaurant client or our restaurant guest, to make their day a little bit better and to be able to help others in some way or form. And if you don't have that quality about yourself, if that's not what you want to do, if you're not out to make other people more happy, then you're in the wrong business. So yeah, I loved what you had to say. That was great. So we're going to jump right into what I like to call on the fly round now. This is where you drop invaluable advice on us in about two or three sentences. Can you handle that?
Yep, absolutely.
All right. So the first question I have for you is, share with us one hiring tip or tool, and how do you teach it to your clients?
Sure. I think a big thing is sort of just taking your time with hiring and making sure that you're hiring the right people. You know, trying to bring the wrong employee in and moving too fast, but just trying to fill a role will end up kind of costing you a lot of time and money and frustration once you've realized that employee, you know, isn't going to work out. So I think, you know, especially in this business, don't just focus on experience. Focus on the people with the right attitude and demeanor. And you know, take your time in filling those roles.
Awesome. What advice do you have for our listeners in regard to employee retention?
Right. So we talked a little bit earlier about, you know, getting to know them, treating them with respect, trying to gain their respect for you. I think one of the things that I tend to do a lot is sort of, you know, give your employees, the more you kind of give them, more sort of, I guess giving them a piece of the management of it. I continue to let my employees sort of take on more responsibilities is kind of what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. And once they have that sort of responsibility and they become like really passionate about their job, no matter what role it is, and they, it's a personal thing to them, then they become sort of those long-term, you know, gung-ho sort of employees that'll stick around and really want to come to work every day.
Absolutely. And when you give them that responsibility, they get a sense of investment to your company. And they feel like they're, when they're really putting their work into it and they've seen what their work has like made a change, they become invested. And that investment and that ability to see that their work is paying off and making a change gives them purpose. And when people have purpose at the workplace, they're 10 times more likely to stick around because that's something everybody needs is that sense of purpose and fulfillment, really. So that's amazing advice for thank you for that. All right, this is where you're going to knock it out of the park. You ready? What is your best marketing advice?
Okay, so my best marketing advice, and it's really something that a lot of people don't really think about when it comes to marketing, but really my best advice is as a restaurant, you have a message you're trying to get across, right? Or you have sort of a shtick, you know, that your restaurant is trying to get across as far as, you know, whether it's your cuisine or whether it's the atmosphere. And the way to do that these days especially is by education. So really teaching your guests and teaching the community around you about what it is that your restaurant does, why you do it, why you do it better than the restaurant across town that maybe has the same sort of thing. And it's a continuing to educate your, like I said, your guests and your potential guests about the food, about the culture, about everything that is that you do. And you can do that with all these awesome tools that people talk about every day. So I'm going to, you know, talk about social media because everybody talks about that. And I sort of have like a love-hate relationship with it because people automatically go to, all right, well, how can I use social media to, you know, market my restaurant? And people usually think of it or tend to think of it as like an advertising channel where you're just sort of like blasting your specials or your menu or whatever your restaurant's doing that weekend. But what you really need to use those tools are to educate, like I said, your guests and your potential guests on. So if you have a certain kind of cuisine that your restaurant focuses on, don't just tell me what your specials are tonight, or advertise me. Actually, educate me. You know, write articles, write content, create videos. You can even do a podcast. That would be so cool if I pressure did a podcast. But, you know, use media to educate me on why this cuisine is important, or how this cuisine is influencing culture, or how to cook these dishes, or like, there's so many different things that you can do to educate your guests, and like I said, your potential guests, to get them interested in what it is that the restaurant does.
That is awesome. I haven't heard it put like that yet, and I think it's a great advice. Really, the word is, you know, engage and do it through educating, making when your guests feel like they know something about your restaurant, they want to bring their friends there, and they want to be able to, you know, share what they learned about your restaurant with their friends. So that's amazing advice, and I have some ideas about podcasting for restaurants that we can talk about later. It might be fun to discuss. But anyway, the next question I have for you is, what is one restaurant or business book you'd recommend to our listeners?
So I had a few that I was going to mention, and I was kind of like going to base it based on our interview. So this is a kind of classic business book. It's called The E-Myth. It was one of the first books I read probably 15 years ago. And the big thing about The E-Myth kind of goes back to our earlier conversation about like owners and managers taking on too much responsibility and not understanding the need to delegate tasks to employees and empowering employees and just kind of generally get overwhelmed. And the E-Myth sort of refers to the entrepreneur myth, and it's about understanding the difference between basically working a job or working at a business by yourself and not having the sort of machine, if you will, that works. That's what all business owners should aspire to. It's about really understanding the difference between that and having a business that runs without you needing to be there. And I think that's a big thing with a lot of, especially smaller restaurants, is taking on too much responsibility and then sort of getting, you know, lost and sort of overwhelmed with the fact that you're in charge and you have to do everything all the time and not really getting the chance to enjoy the fact that you're owning a restaurant and getting burnout and stuff like that. So,
exactly.
Again, the book's called The E-Myth, and it sort of teaches you, you know, how to become a better manager of people and how to move from that needing to be at the restaurant from open to close every day to training the right kind of people to create that staff that allows you to eventually sort of not have to be there every hour of the day and have that restaurant sort of working as its own little machine without you there.
I've heard of this book, and I haven't had the privilege of reading it yet. Do you know if it's on audiobook?
Absolutely. It's like a classic at this point of a business book.
I've heard it enough that I'm sure it is on audiobook. And just so you guys know, whoever is listening, I'm looking to get some links over to Audible. It's, you know, being able to listen to books. We don't always have time in this industry. If we do have time, we don't have the energy to sit down and get through a book, which is why Audible is a great tool, which is basically Amazon for books, audiobooks. So I'm looking to partner up with them so you guys can get a hold of some great books and be able to absorb that information while you're, you know, exercising or driving to work, or like I said, like listening to this podcast while you're, working in the kitchen during the prep hours. So
just an FYI, I forgot. The book actually was, if you're looking for it now, it will be called The E-Myth Revisited. Author Michael Gerber actually came back and wrote like a newer version of that book. A few years after he read the original. So The E-Myth Revisited, Michael Gerber, Why Most Small Businesses Don't Work and What to Do About It.
Awesome. You guys heard it. That sounds like a great book. I know I'm going to look into it. You can find the links in the show notes. The next question I have for you is, could you recommend any gadget, service, or tool that would improve restaurant productivity, efficiency, profitability, or communication?
So that's a very open-ended question, and typically, as like a tech guy, I would ramble off a bunch of tools that you could use. Obviously, as sort of the front of the house, there's, you know, I want to make sure you guys have a point-of-sale system in-house. I want to make sure that you guys are using an easy-to-use sort of email program. You want to make sure that you're maybe using some sort of project management software. You want to make sure that you're on the marketing side of things, that you're using a system for, you know, like managing your social media. And there are really a number of different tools for all of these things that you could possibly use. I mean, I typically recommend for, like, email, I try to get everybody on, like, a corporate Gmail account, because it's just really easy to, like, download the app on your phone and not have to worry about all, like, the annoying nuances of emails. We use, you know, in-house and at restaurants, I've used Basecamp for project management. That's just sort of a tool that allows you to schedule things and create to-do lists, and there's document, you know, you can share documents in one central location. There's all sorts of, I mean, I could literally do an entire podcast on just sort of, you know, technology services that are being used. I think to answer this question more importantly, though, is finding the tools that everyone is actually going to use and understands. I've been in situations where I've tried to implement certain programs and try to force a staff that either doesn't understand them or doesn't use them, and that ends up just becoming makes things more difficult than you know your intents are. So my advice is to sort of test out different kinds of tools. Maybe email by itself is the way you guys will be able to work, and you know you can make it work for you. Maybe it is a more robust project management program like Basecamp. At the end of the day, though, you just want to test different things, try different things, see what your staff likes, dislikes, and find the tools that they are using or that they do enjoy using, and that they can like use efficiently, rather than trying to force maybe a set standard procedure of tools that they're not happy with or not going to use entirely. You know, this kind of goes into what I was talking about earlier about, like, social media and stuff. Like, we have all these wonderful tools and all this wonderful technology to use, but if we're not going to use them properly, or they're just not going to be used at all, or they're going to be used in, like, a negative way, then it's just going to hurt, you know, the process. So mm-hmm. It's not really necessarily about the tools themselves. It's about just finding the ones that make sense and that, you know, your team embraces.
And we talk about delegation, too. This is a great time to delegate these responsibilities onto some of your better performing staff members who can tackle these projects and kind of teach everybody.
Especially with like communication tools, instead of saying, hey, we're going to use this, you know, ask your staff, how do you communicate efficiently? What are you guys using? Are you on this? Are you on this? Are you using this? Especially if they already have like accounts or it's already integrated into like their cell phone or their, you know, kind of routine. Find out what they're using, and then you know, sort of adjust yourself to your staff, and you know, that's a great point.
All right, what's the best restaurant or business advice you've ever received?
I think the best advice really is just finding a way to make sure that your customers are happy, and this kind of goes back to a lot of the stuff we've talked about on this podcast. It's you can have the greatest food in the world, you can have you can have an awesome expensive restaurant that you spent millions of dollars on that just looks great and the atmosphere is great. You can have the best bar in the world. You can even have the best service in the world. But all those things all have to add up to creating this really awesome experience for the guest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I kind of joke sometimes and say that, you know, you can have one restaurant that has the best food in the world right next to a restaurant that maybe doesn't have the best food in the world. But if that experience is better, mm-hmm. then that restaurant's going to be more successful.
Yep.
So I think it's just kind of going, you know, understanding the guests, understanding how to create that experience, and then following through. That's another thing, too. So you can put all these things in place to create the experience, but if your like, server isn't following through with your sort of goals and what you've set out to create, that goes with, you know, every single person in the restaurant has to kind of walk into work every day knowing and thinking in their head, like, I'm here today to create this awesome experience for all the customers. So if you kind of focus on that, and then, you know, everything else should fall into place. You should have that great product. You should have that great atmosphere. You should have service. So I think, you know, just focusing on the guest experience and then training your staff to kind of embrace that will kind of ensure your success.
Awesome. Eric, you've had some great, invaluable advice for us all day. We're going to wrap it up now. Call somebody out. Who is one restaurant professional you admire and believe would be a great contribution to our community here at Restaurant Unstoppable?
I'm not going to name a name, but I'm going to name you know, I gotta give a shout out to the Iron Hill Brewery and Restaurant Group. They're out of sort of my region here in Pennsylvania and New Jersey and Delaware. I spent many years working under those guys, and they taught me all the really good stuff that I've talked about on this call. Started with those guys, and you know, there's too many names in that group to mention.
Awesome. Well, you said it was Iron Hill.
Yes.
All right. I will try to be in touch with them. Thank you for that. And before I let you go, give yourself a plug. What are your plans for the future, and how can we connect you with you in Dynability?
Sure. You know, literally every day we're growing so quickly. Every day is a new day for us. You know, like we mentioned earlier, you asked me if I had made some things on the website had changed. So, you know, check out Dynability.com. We have a ton of really, really great, awesome resources that we're publishing, you know, in articles and videos, and we eventually will probably be getting into a little podcasting ourselves. But, you know, our sort of mantra at Dynability is to, you know, make restaurants understand and achieve their true potential, and we try to do that every day through, you know, the education that I just talked about earlier. Actually, we're trying to do the same thing. So just check out Dynability.com, check out the blog. Stay tuned. You know, we have a lot of really awesome, you know, new products and services that we're going to be sort of, you know, launching this year. It's going to be a big year for us. And but again, you know, right now our big focus is educating and you know, teaching restaurants, you know, how to make everything they do better.
Awesome. You've given us great advice. Like I've said, I've had such a pleasure having you on the show, and I look forward to all future connections with you.
Cool, man. Thanks a lot.
Take care. All right, guys, I think it's safe to say we had another successful episode with Mr. Eric Hebert. I think what I really took away from this episode was Eric's emphasis on engaging your employees and making them feel like they're a part of the team by giving them that responsibility. It's really important that your employees feel like their time in their work and their energy is valued, and by giving them these responsibilities, it enables them to feel that way, which is just one great lesson that I wanted to point out from this episode, amongst many other great lessons. But we're already up to almost 38 minutes here, so I'm going to let you guys go. I know your time is valuable, so thank you very much for listening. Please, please, please share this podcast with your professional friends. And please, please, please engage with me and give me a 5-star review on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. It goes a long way. Thank you so much, guys. Peace.